You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It's God's loving truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hello there. I'm Oswald Hoffman. I invite you to join us for our 11th annual Easter special. We present the glorious message of our Lord's resurrection today in a different and maybe unusual way. It's a very human story designed to show how we all need forgiveness. As you listen to the story, let it speak to your heart. I'll be back later to talk to you about the people who say it can't be and about the importance of Christ's resurrection and God's forgiveness for us all.
Find a seat, folks. This bus runs on a schedule.
Oh, no. This thing is almost full. Sammy's gonna have to sit with that man back there.
Where? Oh, yeah, him.
He looks kind of weird to me.
Sandy deserves somebody weird. Look at his eyes. I bet he's a crook or something.
Sandy sure has been down the last couple of months.
Yeah.
She's your sister, Don. What's the matter with her anyway?
That's a question for a psychiatrist.
No, really. She wasn't like this last year.
I don't know. She's always talking about running away to California or quitting school.
I can't believe she went to church camp with us.
Me neither.
I don't think she liked it. Look at that. She keeps talking to him. And he just keeps staring out the window.
I couldn't care less.
Bus sure is full for a Sunday, isn't it?
Yep.
I guess all us kids getting on kind of filled it up.
I guess so.
My name's Sandy. The bus we were on burned out the transmission or something. Back at church camp. That's where all us kids are from.
Church camp?
Mm-hmm. It was a drag. How far are you going?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I like that. When I'm 18, that's what I'm gonna do. Get on a bus and just keep on going and going. Where'd you get on?
McAllister.
You live there?
You might say that.
Only thing I know is in McAllister is the state prison. Are you a guard or something?
Nope.
Were you... I mean...
I was doing time.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What were you... I mean, what did you...
I killed a man. Eight long years.
That's like half of my life.
The killing was an accident. But I was wrong anyway. It was a guy I didn't even know.
How did you... I mean...
It happened in a bar. Stupid fight about something somebody said. I just hit him too many times, too hard.
That's awful.
I got what I deserved, all right. Sort of fits into the way it's always been for me.
What do you mean?
I'm a loser. Always have been. Never finished school, never held a job very long. Now I'm an ex-con.
Well, anybody can start over.
That right?
Sure.
How old are you?
16.
I went to prison when I was 24. Now here I am, 32-year-old man who don't even know how to act without a guard around telling me what to do.
But you can start all over.
Maybe. Depends on whether people will let me or not. Society punished me for what I'd done, but society can't forgive. Only people can do that, one at a time.
You married?
I think so.
What do you mean, think so? Don't you know?
I don't know if she still wants to be married to me or not. Don't know if she should. She'd probably be better off going her own way, finding somebody else. I told her that 1,000 times.
What did she say? I mean, when you told her to find somebody else.
She always says that she loves me, that she'd wait.
There, see? You can start over. Somebody does love you and forgives you.
Maybe. Forgiving somebody who's in prison is one thing. Taking them back and living with them is something else.
Hey, we're turning off the interstate.
Yeah, this bus is a local. Makes every stop. And that means I'll find out about Meg and me. And that is, about forgiveness. In about 100 miles.
30-minute rest stop. There's a cafe in the station. Restrooms are in the back.
Oh, you hungry?
Pie and coffee, maybe.
Sounds good to me.
Let's go.
Boy, Sandy sure made friends with the mysterious stranger, all right. Look at them there in their own private booth.
Maybe they'll elope or something.
Oh. Don't be nuts, Don. They don't even know each other.
But they're working on it. I bet I could blow this wrapper on my straw right between them and they'd never know it.
Ah, cool it, Donnie. You sound just like junior high.
Seniors. I still think that guy looks like a crook. Look at his eyes. They sort of stare out.
I wish we could get Sandy to tell us about it.
Here we are, folks. 4 burger baskets and 4 cokes.
All right. You guys can watch Mr. Mystery if you want to. I'm going to eat.
Oh. Thanks for the pie. Yeah, I don't even know your name.
It's Walter.
Thanks for the pie, Walter.
Yeah, that's okay.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
When we were coming in here, you said something about finding out about forgiveness in 100 miles.
Yeah, it's about 100 miles to the place where my wife's been living since I went away.
Your home?
I don't know.
Is she expecting you?
Well, she knows I'll be coming by, but she don't know exactly when.
Well, didn't you tell her?
My parole came up kind of unexpected, like 6 months before I thought it would. One day I heard I was getting out. A week later, I was free.
What did your wife say?
I wrote her as soon as I heard about the parole.
You didn't call her?
No.
Oh.
I wanted her to be free to say that she didn't want me coming home, if that's how she felt. I figured that'd be kind of hard to do on the phone.
Well, she already said she loves you, didn't she?
Look, Sandy, I left that woman all alone to look out for herself for 8 years. I killed a guy and went to prison, remember? We were only married a couple of years before I went away. I don't deserve her or her forgiveness. I want her to know she's free to do whatever she wants.
But how do you know she even got the letter? Maybe she was gone for a few days or something.
Well, that's a chance I have to take.
Well, I think you should call her and tell her you're coming.
I can't do that.
Well, how are you going to know if she wants you back?
Well, the bus goes right past our place, between Union Grove and Hillside. Mm. There's a big oak tree out in front of the house. I told her if she wants me back, just tie a ribbon around one of the branches. If it's there, I'll be getting off.
It's like it says in the song.
That's right.
And what if it isn't?
What?
The ribbon on the tree.
Well, I guess I'll just keep on riding. Excuse me for a minute.
Sure.
Well, here she comes.
Scoot over, Don. Come on, Sandy. Tell us all about
it. Yeah, who was he? Sure, look straight.
You gonna run off and get married?
Listen, you guys. This man is, well, he's going through a really hard time. He just got out of jail.
I told you he was a con. Isn't that what I said?
Oh, shut up, Don.
Ouch, hey.
Take it easy.
Just be quiet and listen, all of you. Just for a couple of minutes.
Hey, she's crying. Oh, it's okay, Sandy. It's okay. Tell us.
There's nothing we can do, but he's just got to go home. He could really start again, but if that ribbon isn't there, I don't...
Hey, wait a minute. Back up a little. What ribbon? Where?
Okay, I'll tell you the whole thing. But don't tell anybody else. He's got enough problems as it is. He's been in prison for 8 years, and he's on his way home.
Maybe this whole future is hanging on a tree somewhere?
Oh, I wish there was something we could do.
Just don't talk about it.
Shh, here he comes.
Looks like they're starting to load up.
Okay, Walter. These are my friends. Everybody, this is Walter.
How do you do?
Hi.
We better get back to the bus.
Yeah,
let's
okay.
Go.
Come
on.
Yeah, we better.
Well, let's get back on the bus.
A driver, how far is it to Union Grove?
About 85 miles.
Don, I told you.
I was just curious.
Oh. You said you're all at church camp or something?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do there?
Just kind of messed around, played some games, and listened to some talks.
Church kind of talks?
Mm-hmm. Mostly about Jesus and what it means that he died on the cross for us.
I never went to church much. Guess I never really did understand that whole Jesus bit about his dying on the cross, I mean.
In one of the talks, they said that was the way they executed criminals back then.
You mean like the electric chair, the gas chamber?
Yeah, I guess so.
What kind of criminal was Jesus?
He wasn't any kind of criminal.
Somebody sure must have thought he was. Why'd they kill him anyway?
Well, one of the speakers talked about that. He said that Jesus let them kill him. It was like you and me and everybody deserve to die because we've sinned against God. But Jesus paid our penalty for us.
You mean like I'm on death row and the governor comes in and pardons me, huh?
Right. But only because somebody else says he'll die instead of you.
Oh, nobody ever does something like that.
Well, Jesus wasn't just anybody. He lived his whole life without ever sinning. Not once. So he was the only one who could take our place.
I never knew that's what it was all about.
I guess I never thought as much about it as I should either.
Did he say anything, like last words before they killed him?
Sure he did. He said some really great things.
You like what?
Like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
You mean he was asking forgiveness for the guys who were killing him? Wow. You go to church camp a lot?
Well, we have one every Easter.
Oh, today's Easter, ain't it?
Yeah.
Forgot all about it.
So'd I until now.
Are you going to stay awake for a while?
Yeah. I've got some thinking to do. Why?
I think I'll doze off a few minutes. Wake me up when we go through Union Grove.
Okay.
How much farther to Union Grove?
About 50 miles. Why? You getting off there?
Not me. But you see that guy? About the middle of the bus, sitting next to the girl in the red top?
Yeah.
He's an ex-con. And his wife's supposed to put a ribbon around the big oak tree in front of their house if she wants him to come home.
I think it's nice. He must live somewhere between Union Grove and Hillside, according to what I heard.
One of the kids told me that if the ribbon ain't there, he'll just keep right on going. You like the song?
Yeah, it's that red-headed guy in the blue shirt. But what if she doesn't put the ribbon out?
Walter. Walter.
Oh.
I think we're getting close.
Oh, yeah. I guess I really did fall asleep, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, driver, how far is it to Union Grove?
Just a couple of miles.
Oh, it's just a couple of miles.
Excuse me, Walter.
Yeah, sure.
Don, I'm gonna kill you.
Hey, I didn't tell anybody.
The whole bus knows anyway, Sandy.
But I asked you not to tell.
The driver just wanted to know why I was always asking how far it was to Union Grove, so I told him.
Him and everybody else.
Traitor.
Blabbermouth. Oh, when we get home.
Anything wrong?
Walter, I'm really sorry, but I think my little brother has told a lot of people about you and the ribbon. I shouldn't have told anybody. I just thought maybe we could help or something.
That's okay. I quit hiding things a long time ago. If they know, they know. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah, but I just don't think it's fair for the whole world to be watching when we go past your house.
probably won't be anything to see anyway.
Oh, don't give up. Please, remember the song.
If songs and stories are one thing, truth is something else. I've been a loser all my life. No reason for things to change now.
This is Union Grove. Anyone getting off here? Next stop, Hillside.
Well, another mile. Right up ahead, we go around a long curve. Mm-hmm. Our place is on the right. White frame house, big oak tree out in front.
Walter, I'm scared. I hope she forgives you. I hope she wants you back.
Then quit shutting your eyes. It might be a little ribbon. You can help me spot it.
Oh, is this a curve?
Yep.
Oh.
This is it.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! I'll be.
Look at the tree. It's so full of ribbons. You can see them from here.
There must be 100 of them.
Looks more like 1,000 of them to me.
Hey, driver, stop the bus. Stop the bus. Let the guy off.
Let him off. Hey.
Oh, somebody's running out. Is that your wife?
Yeah, it sure is. That's Meg, all right. I don't know why she did it. I don't deserve it. Not me.
She loves you, Walter. She loves you. That's why.
Goodbye, Sandy.
Oh.
Thanks for talking. Thanks for caring.
Bye, Walter. God, God bless you.
Good luck, Walter.
Oh, Sandy, mind if I sit down?
Sure, Linda.
That was his wife, huh? That came out to meet him?
Yeah.
She sure looked happy.
So was he.
She sure put a lot of ribbons on that tree. Probably got the idea from the song.
Oh, it was more than that.
What do you mean?
She was telling him that she loved him. She was saying, it's okay. I forgive you. Come on home. She was saying that.
Hey, why are you crying?
She loved him. That's why she forgave him. He didn't deserve it, but he didn't have to. He just needed to accept it. I guess I've had my eyes closed to God and everyone else for a long time.
Anybody can start over.
Know what he said?
What?
He said, songs and stories are one thing, and truth is something else. Linda, I just saw the truth. Real love for a loser. Like, love like God loves. From now on, Easter's gonna mean a lot more to me than just songs and stories. It's God's loving truth.
You have just heard a special Easter drama titled It Can't Be. If you would like to hear more of this type of programming, we'd like to hear from you. Please send your letter or comment to the following address: The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now we bring you part two of this special Easter broadcast, a homily on the significance of our Lord's resurrection by Dr. Oswald Hoffman. It, too, is titled, It Can't Be.
It can't be. People say that all the time. When they meet something new they have never experienced before, or are told something so amazing or so shocking that it will change everything. It can't be. It could be two brothers who had just made the first flight in powered aircraft, about 120 feet. As they traveled through the air in about 12 seconds, the brothers made three more flights that day, each somewhat longer than the first one. When the Wright brothers returned to their home in Dayton, Ohio, after this history-making feat, there were no brass bands or gala receptions in their honor. There was not one word about the historic event in Dayton's newspaper, the Dayton Journal, the next morning. Nearly everyone in the United States said, it can't be. One of the leading scientists of the time, Simon Newcomb, a well-known astronomer and mathematician, explained with unassailable logic that the feat was impossible. It can't be. Probably the women felt that way on Easter morning when they saw the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. People feel that way today when they hear the story of what actually happened. It can't be. Just when everybody has finished saying, it can't be, we have often found out that it can be. when Copernicus said that the Earth revolves around the Sun instead of the other way around, people said, it can't be. When the Golden Gate Bridge was proposed in California, people said, it can't be. When engineers proposed a tunnel through the Alps, people said, it can't be. When people predicted in the darkening days of 1914 that there might be a war which would envelop the whole world and would involve practically all the countries of the world, most people said, it can't be. In every generation, people have repeatedly said, it can't be. Why not? Because they can't understand it, that's why. It's not logical. Therefore, it can't be. The women came to the tomb and saw the stone had been rolled away, even though it was very great. It can't be, they probably thought. But it was. Overcoming their fear, they went right up to the tomb and saw that the body of the Lord, whom they had placed there in sorrow and despair on Friday, was no longer there. It can't be, but it was. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was expected by hardly anybody. And it is treated even today across the world as if it were just a beautiful story which people would like to believe but really can't, because it just can't be. The whole thing is just too good to be true. There is no reason at all to question the integrity of the witnesses. All of them got nothing but trouble out of telling what they saw. They all had the same story. He died, as the scripture said he would, for the sins of the world. He was buried. The third day he rose again from the dead, as the scripture said he would. He appeared to this one and to that one, to this group and to that group, and finally to the worst of all the opponents who had been saying, it can't be. A man named Saul found out it can be, and it really is. As Paul, he echoed the words of the heavenly messengers at the open tomb, even in the sight of kings. Why should it be thought incredible among you that God should raise the dead? These people had no axe to grind. They were honest, reliable people, men and women, willing to give their lives for their faith, which they said was securely founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. People do not die for a legend. Instead, these people asserted simply, we cannot but tell you what we have seen with our own eyes. People can call you crazy, ridicule you, and even try to intimidate you, but once you've seen something, nothing can change your mind. You can't change the mind of women, and you can't change the mind of men either. The greatest fact of all, defying all logic and challenging almost every human instinct, is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If he had come back to bring retribution upon the world for the way in which it had treated him, then people could understand, that could be, that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead as Lord of heaven and earth and offer his life for the life of the world. That defies logic and every human instinct to get even. This is God's loving truth. Whether you find it riding on a bus between Union Grove and Hillside, or on the road where you are, Jesus Christ was successful beyond the wildest human dreams. He was delivered for the offenses of the human race, which nobody can rectify with even the utmost piety. He was raised again from the dead for the justification of the whole human race. He is alive. He is Lord. When he says, I forgive you, you'd better believe it. That's life, real life. In the real world where the real Son of God died for real human sin, taking the whole sorry business into his own heart. Forgiveness? It can't be. Oh, yes, it can. The ribbons are on the tree. As Sandy said, she forgave him because she loves him. Last of all, Walter believed his wife and was forgiven. All over the world today, people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They believe in his resurrection, and they believe in him. Believe in me, he always said, and have life. It can't be. Oh, yes, it can. Jesus Christ is Lord, having risen from the dead. He is the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. He can, he does keep his promises. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is life, as Christ's men were always saying, to come back from the death of trespasses and sins, to find life that is very much alive, just as Jesus Christ himself is alive, just as Jesus Christ gives life, just as Jesus Christ turns death into eternal life for all who trust in him and his resurrection. With great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Christ. With great power, people witness today to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sometimes out of the most adverse circumstances, in the face of oppression that threatens their very lives. With great power, the power of Christ himself to forgive instead of taking revenge, to love their neighbors and their friends instead of hating them and doing them in, to live instead of dying. My friend, why do you seek the living among the dead? Don't tell me that it can't be. It can be, and it is, forgiveness and life for you. Jesus Christ can be, and he is, for you. Jesus Christ can be Lord, and he is Lord for you. Jesus Christ is resurrection and life for you. Yes, my friend, it can be. It certainly can be. God's loving truth for you. Amen.
Ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel up on the tombstone said he is risen just as he said.
That was Easter Song with words and music by Ann Herring, as interpreted for us by the members of Joy Incorporated. It Can't Be. That was the title of this year's special Easter broadcast, the 11th in a continuing series offered by the International Lutheran Layman's League. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of the script for this program, simply write to the following address: The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. If you are interested in obtaining a cassette recording of this program, please write to the same address. Let me repeat it for you. The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. The Lutheran Hour was pre-recorded for release at this time and came to you under the sponsorship of the International Lutheran Layman's League.